Do you want to see more regulations on e-cigarettes? Are you concerned or not over the use of e-cigarettes? We'll talk about the proposed FDA rules to regulate e-cigarettes this hour and get your thoughts and questions for our guest. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 7th. The FDA is gathering public comment on its plan before a final decision is made, but the proposed rules include a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes to minors, a ban on distributing free samples, a ban on vending machine sales unless the vending machines are in places that never admit young people, a requirement that e-cigarettes carry nicotine warning labels, and labels that also specify what other ingredients are in e-cigarettes. So what do you think of these proposals? Too much, too little, just right? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest this hour is Dr. David Abrams, Executive Director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. He is also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and adjunct professor at Georgetown University Medical Center, the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center. His areas of expertise include tobacco use and e-cigarettes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Before we get into these FDA rules, what's your overall reaction to the FDA proposing this regulation?
Well, we're very pleased that the rules have finally come out, and they are foundational and will enable us to build upon them to protect public health and be sure that we can maximize the benefits of e-cigarettes while minimizing the harm. So we welcome the rules.
Your group did put out a news release a few days ago that was saying that the FDA did not go far enough, though, with the proposed rules. You wanted a specific provision dealing with the marketing of e-cigarettes to young people. First, how do e-cigarettes companies target minors in the first place?
Well, they're not monolithic, but we are very concerned that some of the companies are using old tobacco industry tactics that target youth with cartoon characters, using celebrities and sponsorships of events, and in general putting on ads that seem to focus in times of day that might appeal to young audiences. So we're very concerned, obviously, that we don't want another generation of youth to become users of nicotine, and of course the big fear is that they will progress to a much more lethal combusted cigarette or hookah or little cigar, so that we're concerned about any targeting or marketing to youth.
Is there evidence that the e-cigarette is the gateway cigarette to smoking, the real thing?
There's no evidence as yet that it's an actual gateway, but it certainly could be, and we are very vigilant and concerned about targeting youth to use these products. We don't think any youth should be using any nicotine or tobacco product at all.
How would you like this particular regulation worded?
Well, in terms of youth, we would like to see marketing restricted to adults only, times of day when adults are watching, and particularly targeting adult themes rather than youth themes. We would also like to see restriction in candy flavorings to e-cigarettes that we feel particularly appeal to young people.
There are candy flavored e-cigarettes?
Yes, there are actually a huge variety of flavors, and we're very concerned about ones that are obviously appealing to kids. For example, gummy bear, pina colada, raspberry, and so on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, among the proposals from the FDA, minors would not be allowed to buy e-cigarettes. So right now, a 12-year-old could go into the store and buy an e-cigarette?
Yes, in some states, there are still no restrictions in local authorities or at the state level. And as you know, the federal deeming regulations will only kick into effect in a couple of months after the hearing period has been completed. So at the moment, there are many states and local authorities where there's no restriction on sale to minors.
Free samples would also be prohibited. How much of that is going on?
We're not sure about how much of that is going on, but we have certainly seen use of free samples in some places to attract both youth and adults to try them.
Mm-hmm. There would also be a ban on selling e-cigarettes in vending machines unless they're in places that never admit young people. What sort of effect would this, how necessary is this ban?
Again, we feel that all of the restrictions that we've worked so hard to put in place for regular cigarettes to prevent youth from access should be applied to e-cigarettes, and they should be very strongly enforced. It's not enough just to say that the law is in place. Our experience with sale of cigarettes to minors included the need for enforcement and to check that they are not being sold to minors without proper identification and verification.
E-cigarettes would also have to carry warnings that they carry nicotine. Why is this necessary?
Well, again, we believe that the public should know that there is nicotine in an e-cigarette, although some do not have nicotine. So it's important to know which ones do and which ones don't. And again, nicotine is a psychoactive drug, and we're concerned that its use by adolescents can affect their brains. We're also very concerned that we know nicotine, although it's not the harmful ingredient in cigarettes, for example, nicotine is something that should not be ingested by pregnant women because it does cause birth defects. So again, the public should be fully aware of what they're buying and what they're consuming.
I guess I'm surprised to know that some e-cigarettes do not have nicotine in them. I thought that was the point.
No, there are e-cigarettes with no nicotine, and they're advertised as such. And there are cigarettes with low levels of nicotine and higher levels of nicotine. And in fact, because there are no FDA regulations as yet, the product standards haven't been implemented, which would ensure that there's accurate labeling, good quality control over production to be sure that the level of nicotine that's advertised is exactly the same as what's actually in the liquid. At the moment, it's very variable, and there are good and not so good quality products on the market.
Yeah, manufacturers would also have to disclose any other ingredients in the e-cigarettes. We don't know currently what's in the e-cigarettes or not when it comes to other ingredients?
Again, there are no requirements at present to disclose what's in them. And studies that have been done have found that there are additives, flavorings, and sometimes contaminants. And it really varies from product to product because there's no quality control over the manufacturing of the liquid or the cigarette itself.
We are talking with Dr. David Abrams. He is the executive director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. And we are talking about the new proposed regulatory rules for e-cigarettes. The FDA is gathering public comment on these rules before a future review and presumably implementation. Some of the new rules include banning the sale of e-cigarettes to minors and requiring that they carry nicotine warning labels. But our guest says that the proposals are good steps, but should do more to safeguard young people from marketing and advertising of e-cigarettes. What do you think? What questions do you have? Do you think that e-cigarettes need to be regulated? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What questions or concerns do you have about e-cigarettes? This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about regulating e-cigarettes with our guest, Dr. David Abrams, who is the executive director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 7th. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a view on the regulation of e-cigarettes. Ralph in Little Suamico is with us. Hello, Ralph.
Yes, good morning. I had heard about this, read about it, talked to my wife about it, and just wanted to, I guess, give my opinion. The advent of nicotine patches and nicotine gum was considered to be a great avenue to people who have stopped smoking. And, you know, I personally talk to people that say, yeah, I use a nicotine patch. And in doing that, we've reduced the number of people that are smoking from when it was almost 90% of the people smoked in the United States. So if that is the case, then what is the difference between e-cigarettes? It's a way for people to stop smoking, and if they want to regulate it just the same way that you do the nicotine patch and the nicotine gum. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Abrams?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I think we do need to keep a balance with this product being on the market. While we're very concerned that it may attract kids, and that would not be a good thing, it certainly is possible, and we do have some evidence that it helps adult smokers to quit or at least switch completely to a product that can help them quit. And so e-cigarettes can be very helpful because it's a convenient and very appealing way to get off the much more lethal combustible cigarette or little cigar. It's the burning of the tobacco that produces the smoke toxins, carbon monoxide, and cancer-causing agents. And the e-cigarette warms a nicotine solution. It does not burn the tobacco leaf. So the fact that it's much safer means that it could be a very valuable additional aid to help smokers reduce the death and disease that comes primarily from cigarettes or any other form of burning tobacco, like little cigars, cigarillos, pipe, hookah, or roll your own. So e-cigarettes could be very helpful to reduce death and disease from tobacco.
Mm-hmm. But are the nicotine patches or the nicotine gum, are they regulated in the same fashion as what the FDA wants to do with e-cigarettes?
Yes. The nicotine gum and patch and lozenge are regulated by the FDA and are approved for smoking cessation. And so they should be the first line of treatment. If you can't quit smoking on your own, we certainly recommend using these medications first or other medications and behavioral counseling or telephone quit lines. There are a lot of ways to help smokers quit. But we also think that now that e-cigarettes are on the market, because they're so appealing and attractive, if you cannot quit smoking on your own or if you've tried everything else and failed, I would much rather someone tried an e-cigarette if it can possibly help people get off the much more lethal smoking of a combusted product like a cigarette or cigar.
And I would imagine that the manufacturers of the nicotine patches, lozenges, or gum are not necessarily marketing these items to teenagers.
No, they're not.
And your concern is that they are doing that with e-cigarettes, so that's why you're calling for more regulation along those lines.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's true. Although I must say some companies are more responsible than others. We have information that some of the companies seem to be targeting kids, while others are being quite responsible and are sending messages that this is a product only for smokers and to help them switch completely to something that might get them off cigarettes. So, again, it's not monolithic. There are some companies that are behaving responsibly, but we're very concerned about the other companies that seem to be quite aggressively trying to attract new users. And they also are potentially undermining clean indoor air laws as well as discouraging people from quitting smoking cigarettes. So, for example, their agenda is to get people to use both products, dual use, rather than quit cigarettes. And that could be not as beneficial as exclusive use of a product that gets you off of the more lethal cigarette. So it's quite confusing out there.
Yeah. And let me clarify. So there are some manufacturers of e-cigarettes who are marketing this as add this to your smoking arsenal and smoke this when you can't smoke the real thing. That kind of marketing?
Exactly. And we're very concerned about that because that kind of dual use would not produce harm. And it may, in fact, increase harm. So we'd much rather see clear advertising and messages to the public that the way to reduce your harm would be to switch completely to this product and try to use it to quit everything in the long run. That dual use or just adding it to your current arsenal, even if you reduce your cigarette use a little bit, is not going to give you much benefit in the long run.
Mike in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Hey there. Hey, I had a question. I just stopped in the local gas station, and they had a big box of every flavor you could possibly imagine. E-cigarette hookah is what they basically say, and it's there's no nicotine added. And I'm just wondering, what kind of regulations are there? I mean, who has access to that? And I know you were saying the FDA doesn't really have any control on any of that. And, it's just kind of scary because you never know what they're putting into that stuff. And
So the bin said, here, have an e-cigarette. It's a hookah e-cigarette with no nicotine.
No nicotine, yeah. Right on the box. Yep. And I'm wondering, who has accessibility to that? And,
well, right now, just about anybody, Dr. Abrams?
That's right. There are 33 states that have restricted sales to minors, but we're also concerned that it takes a while for that to be enforced at the local level. So it is true that we hope people will use common sense and that vendors and convenience stores and gas stations would know that they should not be selling any of these products to kids under 18, just like regular cigarettes. But there are no laws at the federal level, and we hope there will be, in the immediate future because of the FDA acting last week. And some states and local authorities have acted and are enforcing these laws, but we really need that to be rapidly enforced right across the country to be sure that we don't get a next generation attracted to these products that could then lead to much more dangerous use of lethal cigarettes.
But the FDA rules that were recently released would say that, presumably when they become final, that every e-cigarette needs to have a label that says whether it has nicotine or not, and it has to have a label that says what other ingredients are in it.
Yes, that's correct. And that would be helpful so that the public knows exactly what it's getting.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for the call. John in Madison is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. You can become solely addicted to nicotine via e-cigarettes. And we know from looking at people that have been addicted to tobacco-fired nicotine addiction, only half of them have been able to quit over the last 50 years, despite all the warnings against carcinogenicity, premature strokes, heart attacks, right down the line. Horrible, horrible addiction. Only half have been able to give them up. And you can get addicted to this vicious, horribly addictive substance, nicotine, via e-cigarettes. I read that 10% of high school kids have tried them. Do we know how many kids are becoming addicted to nicotine via solely e-cigarettes? And my other question is this. Is anybody marketing this as not having effects on the fetus? Because we know 15% of women smoke during pregnancy. And I have read that it has a deleterious effect, purely nicotine, on fetal development.
Yeah. You touched on that, Dr. Abrams. We have just a minute before news. How many do we know? How many kids are smoking and becoming addicted to e-cigarettes?
Well, it does look like that's increasing. It's doubled in the last year, and it is around 10% of kids have at least tried them. So that is a concern. But, you know, the other thing is that he's right, that nicotine can be addictive. But the good news is that when it's absorbed more slowly in a gum or a patch, for those that are already addicted to much more lethal cigarettes, it's actually a good way to get you off the more dangerous cigarette. And then hopefully you can wean yourself off the nicotine and stop everything. But again, I'd much rather someone who's already addicted to nicotine cigarettes use nicotine in a less harmful way. If they cannot quit smoking, keep them off the much more dangerous cigarette.
Let me jump in because we have news from NPR next, and then Wisconsin Public Radio News, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. The public is getting the chance to weigh in on new regulatory rules for e-cigarettes. The FDA is proposing regulations, rules including a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes to minors, a ban on distributing free samples, a ban on vending machine sales unless they are in places that never admit young people, and a requirement that e-cigarettes carry nicotine warning labels and the other ingredients in them. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, May 7th. We are talking with a guest who is an expert on smoking and e-cigarettes, Dr. David Abrams, Executive Director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. He's also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and adjunct professor at Georgetown University Medical Center, Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center. His areas of expertise include tobacco use and e-cigarettes. We're welcoming your input. We're welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you have any questions or concerns about e-cigarettes and these proposed regulations? Well, before we go back to the phones, Dr. Abrams, we should point out that you and your the group, the American Legacy Foundation, you are not anti-e-cigarette, but you are anti-marketing of these e-cigarettes to children.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. We think e-cigarettes could be a promising new way to help smokers who are addicted to the much more lethal combusted products like regular cigarettes or menthol cigarettes. We're hopeful that e-cigarettes could be another way, along with nicotine replacement therapies and telephone counseling, to help people get off the much more dangerous combusting of tobacco that's found in regular cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. And you would like to see in these regulations from the FDA specific language banning the marketing or advertising of e-cigarettes geared to children or young people.
Yes, absolutely. To do the most public health benefit, we need to keep all nicotine and tobacco products away from our children, as well as encourage anybody who's currently using a tobacco product to stop using, or at least if they cannot stop using, to use the least harmful product, and that would be anything other than the burning of tobacco in a cigarette, cigar, hookah, cigarillo, or even roll your own. It's the burning of the tobacco that causes the toxic carbon monoxide, over 60 cancer-causing carcinogens, tar and other chemicals. It's really the burning that causes the death and disease from tobacco products. It's not really the nicotine itself that causes all the death and disease.
Let's go to Cody in Green Bay. Hello, Cody.
Hi.
Yes. I understand you have used e-cigs?
I still do.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly will say I smoke the candy ones more. I like the flavors better. But I started at 12 milligrams of nicotine, and I'm down to none. And I smoke it that solely. And then the shop that I go to doesn't allow minors to buy it. You have to show an ID when you buy everything.
And that's in the Green Bay area.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, so your thought is that even adults smoke the candy flavored e-cigarettes, and you wouldn't want them taken off the market anyway.
I wouldn't. I'll tell you that I smoked from the time I was 13. I'm 21 now, and I tried quitting the old fashioned way. I tried with the gums. The gums made me sick. So then I got this for my birthday, and this is the only thing that I'm down to no nicotine. So, and I only smoke it like if I'm having a really bad day and I need that stimulation.
Interesting. So you're smoking an e-cigarette that does not contain nicotine, and only that. You're not supplementing regular tobacco use with this.
Right. I have one of the ones that you can get the juices to refill instead of buying them pre-done.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I guess I didn't know a lot about this, that you can have different strengths of nicotine in these e-cigarettes, Dr. Abrams.
Yes, that's true. And it's really great that the caller is using something without nicotine, because that means that you're not getting addicted to the nicotine. And that also means that you can probably take it or leave it whenever you want. And of course, my hope is that eventually you'll get bored with this and maybe decide you don't need them at all. But the good news is that you're not smoking regular cigarettes that are lethal and cause the overwhelming amount of death and disease because of the burning of the tobacco. So all in all, you know, this is practicing harm reduction. And even better that you're not using any nicotine with your e-cigarette.
Yeah. What about his preference for candy-flavored e-cigs? Should adults be able to buy those?
Well, you know, it's a slippery slope. I'm very worried about kids being attracted to them. And I think that we could have flavors that are appealing to adults but not necessarily appealing to kids. Although, again, I think anything that makes a cigarette attractive and particularly makes people want to use the combusted regular cigarette, it is a dangerous thing. So while I want to make cigarettes less attractive and e-cigarettes more attractive for current users so that they get off regular cigarettes, I also don't want to risk getting another generation of our kids hooked and then maybe progressing to regular cigarettes, which are so lethal.
And while the shop that Cody goes to in Green Bay asks for an ID before selling an e-cigarette to someone, I'm looking back at a story from last fall in Wisconsin, and it says more teens are smoking e-cigarettes in Wisconsin, and it's legal. The study showed that the number of high school students smoking electronic cigarettes doubled in the last year, and there was no law on the books that requires stores to check for IDs, apparently, but I guess it could be done voluntarily. So looks like Wisconsin is one of the states that at least does not have a ban on the sale to minors for e-cigarettes.
Well, that's why we're so excited that the FDA has finally acted and will set consistent standards that all the states can follow. But we also hope that states and local authorities will act on their own immediately to prevent kids from getting access or buying e-cigarettes, and that local store owners will voluntarily do the same kind of age checking and ID verification to be sure that we don't get these products into the hands of kids. At the same time, I think it's excellent that stores are able to help adults to get off the more lethal cigarettes by either using NRTs or counseling or even e-cigarettes if that's going to help them to quit smoking the much more lethal conventional cigarettes.
Thank you, Cody, for the call, and congratulations on quitting smoking the real thing. Edward in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Edward.
Good morning. First, I'd like to make an observation, and then I have a couple questions for Dr. Abrams. First of all, I was a pack-a-day smoker for about 15 years, and I successfully quit with the e-cigarette approximately a year ago. And what I'd first like to say is I haven't seen anything that suggests that the e-cigarettes are being marketed to children. I think that the argument that they have appealing flavors, whether they're candy-flavored or you mentioned pina colada, I think that's a ridiculous argument because, honestly, what are they supposed to have them taste like? Are they supposed to have them only cigarette-flavored, or are they supposed to have only something that's repulsive? It seems to not make any sense. My questions for Dr. Abrams are, why do you think the FDA is taking so long to study the effects of the e-cigarette? They've been on the market for approximately 10 years, and I've really only seen a lot of popularity in the last 5 years. And the second part of my question is, do you think Big Tobacco has anything to do with the FDA's dragging their feet on studying the effects of e-cigarette use?
And I'm sorry, Edward, I missed the, does what have an effect on the FDA studying the safety of e-cigarettes?
The Big Tobacco lobby.
Oh, okay.
You know, Philip Morris and Kraft and all the cigarette companies.
Yeah, so what's taking the FDA so long to study the safety of e-cigarettes, Dr. Abrams?
Well, you know, one of the really strange things was about 7 years ago when they first came on the market, the FDA moved fairly quickly to regulate them for their safety and efficacy. And the courts blocked that because the e-cigarette company sued and said that this is not a cigarette. It's a nicotine delivery system that that shouldn't be regulated as a drug delivery device. And so the FDA was actually prevented by the courts until last week from regulating and evaluating the safety of e-cigarettes. They essentially tried to do that 3 or 4 years ago and were blocked and prevented from doing it. So this is the first time that they've been able to exert their authority to regulate these products and make sure that the public gets a safe and effective product with accurate labeling and knows what's in them.
Is there any evidence that Big Tobacco is blocking any study of the e-cigarette or, for that matter, involved in the e-cigarette industry?
There's strong evidence that all three big tobacco companies have aggressively moved into owning e-cigarette companies or making their own e-cigarettes. And certainly Lorillard, the maker of blue e-cigarettes, is now the leading seller of e-cigarettes in the marketplace. So the big three tobacco companies are seeing this as another opportunity to make money and to sell another product to the public. And so they are in the market, and I think they are promoting the use of e-cigarettes. Unfortunately, as I said, they seem to be telling people to use them in addition to their regular cigarettes or as a bridge product when they're not allowed to smoke due to clean indoor air laws. And they're not telling them that this is a product that they should use instead of smoking their much more lethal combusted cigarettes, whether they're menthol or regular, which are the ones that kill half the users prematurely over the long haul.
Yeah. Should e-cigarettes only be available in menthol and regular?
That would be a good idea, I think. Although, again, you know, it's a slippery slope. We don't want kids attracted to any flavors. And, you know, what I would also like to see is that the FDA ban the sale of menthol as a characterizing flavor in all cigarettes, because there's strong evidence that children start off with menthol because it's a cooler, smoother, less harsh form of starting out. And so, as one of my colleagues said, menthol helps kids to make the poison of the tar and toxicity go down more easily. So I even think that menthol cigarettes are very attractive to kids, and almost 50% of kids start out with mentholated cigarettes.
Yes, it was Kools in my case. We are talking with Dr. David Abrams. He is the executive director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. And we are talking about regulating e-cigarettes. The FDA has proposed regulations on e-cigarettes. We talked about many of those proposed rules during this hour, and the rule that our guest would like to see, one that would regulate the sale or the marketing or advertising of e-cigarettes to children or young people. What do you think? What questions or concerns do you have about e-cigarettes? Have you used e-cigarettes? Do you think it was a good product to help you quit smoking or not? Do you use it in addition to smoking? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 7th. We are talking about the FDA's proposed rules on regulating e-cigarettes. The FDA is gathering public comment on this plan before a final decision is made, but the proposed rules include a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes to minors, a ban on distributing free samples, a ban on vending machine sales unless the vending machines are somewhere where young people are never allowed, a requirement that e-cigarettes carry warning labels for nicotine and also have the other ingredients listed that are in them. What do you think of these regulations? Too much, too little, just right? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a few moments left with our guest, Dr. David Abrams, and a line open for you. Lynn writes on Facebook, "Most smokers, including myself, find smoking to be disgusting. Nothing looks grosser than someone with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth or proudly displayed in between their two fingers. Smoking symbolizes someone who doesn't care about their health now or in the future. Many of us have lost loved ones to cancer, so smoking is a horrible reminder of that. It also seems smoking is on the rise in young people." Well, what do you have to say about that, Dr. Abrams?
I think we are concerned that we've made a lot of progress in the last 50 years with making smoking unappealing, unattractive, and we want to keep it that way. We have smoking rates that are an all-time low among adolescent high school kids. They're at a record low this year, and we want to see them go lower and not reverse. So I think making smoking unattractive and unappealing is a good thing.
We also have Don on Facebook who wants to know, are e-cigarettes taxed? Can kids buy them by mail? Do you know?
Again, some states are beginning to tax them, but in most places they're not yet taxed or are not included in the tax base. A lot of states are discussing this, but as far as I'm aware, there are very few states that are actually taxing them at the moment. Some people have also mentioned that because e-cigarettes are a way to get people off the much more lethal burning of tobacco in a regular cigarette, they should be taxed at a lower rate. And if anything, if we want to keep kids and adults away from regular combusted cigarettes, we should double or triple the tax on regular cigarettes and leave the tax relatively low on e-cigarettes, because that would encourage much more people to switch. And that would be good, because the less people who smoke those dangerous combusted cigarettes, the less death and disease we will have in the long run. So people are talking about a tax that's proportionate to the harm of the product, with combusted cigarettes being so lethal that they should be taxed at much higher rates, even higher than they are today.
Mary in Sussex is with us. Hello, Mary.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. My friend, my son's longtime childhood friend, they're 15, has started smoking e-cigarettes. And I spoke with his mother about it, and she does not seem to understand the danger. And I spoke with my son's friend and said, hey, why are you doing this? And he said, it's because it makes him feel more relaxed. And his mother does not seem to understand, because he tells her that there's nothing in the cigarettes, it's just flavoring. But I tend to not believe that. If it's relaxing him, I tend to think that's the nicotine. So I think we do need more education to the public, so the parents understand what's in these cigarettes, because they're allowing their children to smoke it. They don't understand the dangers of them.
Thank you, Mary. So what do parents need to know about this, Dr. Abrams?
Well, I do think that e-cigarettes should not be used by kids, and they do have nicotine in some of them, and nicotine is a psychoactive drug, and it's not a good thing for growing, developing brains to have nicotine or marijuana or anything else in them while they're developing. So I do think it's not a good idea, and as we've said before, if it becomes a way to then lead to the use of the much more dangerous, addictive, and lethal regular cigarette, then it's a really bad idea. So in a sense, you're playing with fire, and you really shouldn't be tempting yourself to use a product that contains nicotine or any other psychoactive drug.
Less than a minute to go, Dr. Abrams. How hopeful are you that these FDA rules will one day include advertising or marketing to children?
I'm certainly hopeful that we'll move in that direction, whether it's the FDA or the FTC or even Congress could consider the kinds of laws that they implemented 40 years ago to prevent cigarettes from being advertised or marketed to kids. So one way or the other, I really hope that we'll move our society towards stopping using all nicotine and tobacco, but most particularly
for young people. And I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. David Abrams. This is the Ideas Network.